Welcome to episode 301 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes in the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. We invite you to come along with us. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website or Facebook. My name is Lindsay, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, Donna, and George. The Outlander travel team is always growing, and when we have a new team member, we love to showcase them in an episode of the Flyaway podcast. Tonight, we are excited to introduce you to Stacy, who actually is not actually new, but has been strictly in an administrative role until this year. She is now learning the sales side of the business, and we wanted to introduce you. So let's get started. Welcome, Stacy, to the podcast.
Yay!
Thank you.
She's so happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about how you got started with Outlander.
Okay, sure. It's kind of a fun story, I guess, a little. I don't know. Edit all that out, George.
Fun, I guess. Yeah.
None of that was interesting. I kind of sort of knew of Elizabeth from the libraries because we worked both in the library system together at the same, you know, during the same time. And I just remember when I heard that she had become a travel agent, I had contacted her one day and asked her, could I come and just, you know, hang out with her, and thought it was really cool because I'd thought about being a travel agent. And that was probably right after she had gotten started almost, right, Elizabeth? And then fast forward to 2017, she was looking for a new assistant. And I think my sister had told you to contact me. So she did. And I was like, yes, I would love to do that. Get my foot in the door and just kind of start learning the industry. So that's how that's how I got started with Outlander Travel.
So now that you've kind of been on both sides and you're starting to sell travel, what are some of the things that you find different, or what attracts you more? Do you prefer to sell travel more, or do you still like the back office end of?
I would say I'm certainly more comfortable with the administrative side since I've been doing it for a couple of years now, but I'm very interested and excited to expand the role into selling travel. It's something, you know, obviously I was thinking of it years ago. And so now, given the opportunity to do that, I'm very excited to, you know, spread my wings a little and give that a try. Not as comfortable yet. What's that?
It's kind of an addictive bug, isn't it?
Well, it is. Yes. Yes.
So what do you want to specialize in? Do you know?
That's a good question. I don't know that I know for sure. I know what I'm familiar with the most. And I would say because I've cruised a lot, I've done, my family's gone to Disney World a whole lot. But we've also traveled to Europe, and I've enjoyed planning trips for my family to Europe. So I'll be honest, I'm not really sure yet, Donna. So far I enjoy doing a little bit of everything, but I think down the road, I'm trying to think of the word, sorry.
And a little bit.
It's a problem with librarians.
You have so many words at your disposal. It's too many.
You know, I can't think of the English word for it.
I can't think of it. Yeah, there you go. I guess it'll flush out, you know, what my main interest becomes, so.
It is funny how you grow in this industry, how your interests change and evolve, and you might start off thinking you really enjoy one direction, and then you'll find your heart tugging at you in a completely opposite direction. So it's a great evolution process.
Stacey had booked several Royal Caribbean cruises with me before she started working with me, so I've dumped a lot of Royal Caribbean on her, and I think I'm trying to beat it out of her. I love Royal Caribbean, but their hold times have been a little long, and I'm like, hey, could you call Royal Caribbean today? And she's like, I never want to call Royal Caribbean again.
Just curious real quick, like, how did you guys decide what was your specialty, or, you know, did you just come to it on you know, that was your plan all along, or like Lindsay said, you just kind of figured it out as you went?
I started with Disney because that's what I planned for my family all the time. And then once I tried cruising, I really liked that. So I kind of expanded more to that. Like half and half. And then I went to Alaska, and that was like my favorite place in the world. So so it just kind of evolved from kind of opening my horizons a little bit. But yeah, I think the more you experience, the more you like. But it does help if you've been there, you know, if you've done stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's definitely true. I mean, I think most of us here probably started with Disney, love for Disney and knowledge of Disney.
Not George and Donna, actually.
Cruising all-inclusives. And that was kind of my little triangle there for a while. And then I got, as I traveled more and as I experienced different types of travel, I realized that I was more drawn to those other experiences. And that's kind of where I've move my focus. So I think it does. You just kind of, you flow with it. I don't want to say trial and error because that's not the right description, yeah. but in a way it is, because you can find yourself on the phone with the company going, well, I don't want to do this again. Not naming any names.
Donna, what about you?
Well, I know what I like to do. I love planning adventure trips, like ski trips and scuba trips and things like that. But it's a very small audience. So I actually, my knowledge base is with families. And so that's my go-to. And it's basically whatever the family wants to do. If the family wants to go to Europe, I can do Europe. If the family wants to go down to the Caribbean, they do the Caribbean, or they want to cruise. I'll be honest with you, cruising is not one of my favorite things because I do get seasick, but I find myself, that's actually a huge chunk of my business. So I've actually expanded my knowledge base towards cruising because that's what my clients want.
Interesting.
Yeah. George, you came through all-inclusives and cruising, right?
Yeah, so I started with cruises because that was really kind of my first vacation. The first couple I took were cruises when I had just gotten in. And then I had heard of all-inclusives. I mean, I should say I've heard of Sandals and didn't know how huge the all-inclusive market was and how many resorts there were. And then, yeah, after going on the Sandals fam, that hooked me into all-inclusives. So then I've always loved Disney, and I book it and somewhat promote it, but being part-time, it's so much work with fast pass and dining reservations and applying promotions and all the other stuff that I find that I just personally don't have the time for that. I can't spend hours on the phone when Disney releases a free dining promo. So mm-hmm. I've kind of slowed down on that, but still going cruises and all-inclusives. That's my thing.
One thing that kind of helps you pick your niche is your own interests. So what's your bucket list trip? I know I'm really attracted to that once in a lifetime experience, that more unique. So yeah. What would your one trip be?
I know it's hard to narrow it down. I was thinking about this because there's so many places I want to go. So I don't know if my bucket list is so much a place as it is an experience. Like my bucket list travel trip would be like to be able to go, maybe spend a time in a country, but spend like a whole month there or like a long period of time and really get to know the culture and do some really cool experiences. So I don't know if that's weird or not, that I don't have a specific place in mind, but just I know I want to experience a lot in one place for a period of time. So that would be cool.
I don't think that's lame. My bucket list is around the world cruise, so I think that's probably lame because it's like my bucket list is everywhere.
Well, I will say that's Dave. Dave, I mean, we have talked about doing like, you know, these 21-day cruises or not around the world. I don't know if we'd ever have that much time. Maybe one day. But like a month-long cruise would be like the top of his list, I think.
I want to do the round the world cruise. It's always been on my bucket list, but I want to get off and kind of explore and really take like 2 years.
Get back on the ship the next time it comes around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I've done a 40-day trip is my longest. I really think I could do 100-day.
I think you could too, Lindsay.
That 40-day trip, you covered a lot of ground. You didn't just stay in one place.
No, I didn't. And that's, I'm hearing Stacy talk about that. And that is my one, I don't really have any regrets from that trip because I used pretty much every piece of knowledge I soaked up, and every experience has helped me with something else in my life, whether it's work related, helping a client or not. But the, I would like to go back, and I've done it in the past where we spent almost a whole, well, we spent a few weeks in Italy, and then did a Mediterranean cruise. So we were gone for like a whole month, but I would have liked to spend the whole month there because we fell in love with Italy so much that it was just kind of, so that would be great just to soak it in and kind of really become part of the destination and really get to know the culture on a deeper level than you can get when you're going for seven.
See, that's our retirement goal.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the hard thing, right? Because you can't, it's hard to take that much time off when you're working. You kind of have to wait for that kind of.
And the trips will pay for themselves. So
there's a big trend right now to do that remote working where you basically, you know, go live in a co-living sort of
situation. Yeah, and I think after our experience with this pandemic, people might find that they can work remotely a lot when their employers did not give them that option before. I think it's going to be hard to rein that back in after all.
Yeah.
Hey, Barbados is promoting it right now.
They are.
Just come
stay
with us for a year because that's the only way you're going to get around the COVID result or the COVID.
Be happy anywhere. Barbados, Maldives, you name it. Let's
Dave
just...
and I talked about Aruba. We'd go there in a heartbeat. Spend a year.
Have you been to Aruba?
I have a few times. Very fun.
That was one of the first beach vacations my husband and I went.
We spent for my 50th birthday. We went for almost a week, and it was just so much fun. So beautiful, and you can't beat the weather. I mean, what, 82 every day? You know. Sunny.
it's 14 miles long. So really, I mean, if you live there, you could pretty much get to know everybody.
Probably could.
I really got that small town island feel.
I will say Stacy has already experienced, because she's been with us for a while, instead of just the, you know, she's not really a newbie. She's already experiencing the, you never get to go on vacation again because you always have to work phenomenon.
This is true.
We're like the genie. There's always a limit. There's bracelets on our wrists tied us down.
Someone always wants a wish.
Phenomenal cosmic power. Yeah, exactly. What can I do for you? What can
I do for you? I have one skill, like a life skill I never thought I would pick up in this industry is one side effect has been figuring out how to work bigger in a smaller with smaller stuff to not take the whole world with me.
Oh, when you travel, you mean?
When I travel, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're taking your office with you.
Yep. This is true.
Lindsay's the queen of working from her phone. I don't recommend it because the buttons are really small. Lindsay
makes it work. But I will say that if I was not able to do it that way, that 40-day trip would have been a nightmare. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, putting off work for that long? No. That wasn't like a vacation. Yeah.
What your favorite travel memory is?
Oh, my favorite travel memory is, so Sandy mentioned earlier about going to Alaska. I would say one of the best memories is we did a cruise and land tour to Alaska it's been like 10 years now, but there were 10 of us. It was three families, but we booked a little flight to take us to land on the glaciers. So we pulled in to, where were we? Talkeetna, I think it was. And it was must have been about like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night when we got there. It was beautiful. It was clear. And our appointment, our reservation for the tour was the next morning. And, you know, of course, doing our research, we had heard that, you know, a lot of times you can't do these flights because the fog comes in or it's too cloudy. So as soon as we checked into our hotel, we called the place where we'd booked the flight. And we're like, hey, you know, we just got here. It's beautiful. Is there any way y'all have something available that could take us right now? And they're like, yes, if you can be here like in 30 minutes, we'll go up right now. And so we're like, we'll be there. And so we get there. They took us up. We must have been on that glacier. It had to have been like 10:30 at night. But I mean, it looked, of course, like the middle of the day. It's so bright, beautiful. It's just one of those experiences you'll remember for a lifetime because you're just surrounded by these beautiful, gorgeous mountains, the snow, the ice. But then you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt, basically. But it's amazing. And we had the best experience. And then the next morning we woke up and you couldn't see a thing. I mean, it was so cloudy the next morning when the time we were originally scheduled to leave, we never would have
Did you do a plane or a helicopter?
Oh, it was a plane. It was and it sat 11 people because the pilot was with us, of course. So
was it the K2?
Probably the K2. Ooh, group,
K2, yeah, that's who I went up with.
Yeah, it would have to be, unless they were under different ownership 10 years ago, but because they're like, the biggest show in town.
Yeah, I'm gonna see. That's probably not good of me that I'm so forgetful. I can't remember
years ago. I mean, you know.
But you remember how it made you feel, and that's really worth.
Yes, exactly. It was just like
it's amazing. So hard to put that experience into words to explain to other people that even if you've been around the world and you've seen and done a million things, there is just something so magical about Alaska and about standing there on top of that glacier. And I'm deathly afraid of heights, so when I did that, that was like, I was white knuckling it there for a minute. I thought for sure we're going to die. We're going down. But it ended up being, it's the one thing I talk about the most of all my travels.
I was going to say, and you know, it was kind of, and it, you know, at the time and even today it was a splurge, you know, definitely. It was like, should we do it? And we were all like, no, we're going to do it. So, and I'm so glad we did because if we hadn't,
you would have missed that. It is a splurge. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about Alaska too, is that the excursions can be very pricey, but it is kind of that for a lot of people, it's that once in a lifetime destination, you know? So.
Well, and even what I love about that story is also the testament to being flexible when you travel. So many people plan everything to a T, and to have been able to recognize, you know what? We got time. We got a lot of daylight and it's gorgeous right now. So we need to do it. That it's so important because weather can be a huge factor in I mean, flight seeing for sure. But, you know, the Cliffs of Moher in Ireland, one day could, you know, you can't include, and the Ring of Kerry as well. One day you
could be sunburned one day. It could be a monsoon the next. It's,
And the Alps, you know, if you're going up the mountains and want a view from the top of the mountain, one day it could be perfect. The next day, nope. 1 hour it could be perfect. The next day, nope. So having that flexibility and building in time is really important. And we actually didn't in Hawaii, we didn't do that. I didn't give my family enough time on the Big Island. And the day we scheduled for a helicopter couldn't happen.
Couldn't do it.
Couldn't happen. I think Marcus was secretly glad because he's pretty nice. But
if it's something that's super important to you, if you know that's something you want to leave at least three spots in your itinerary where you could slip that in case the weather, which is why the cruise tours are so important to people, you know, not to get off topic, but that's because if you want to see those things and you want to experience Denali, you really, the cruises are nice, but you have to get out and you have to get into Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about Aruba. Is there any place else that you have been that you could go back over and over and over and over again?
Besides Aruba. well, I have been a couple places in Europe. I mean, we've been to England a few times, and I think we could even go back there. We've talked about going back to Scotland, even though we've been there a couple of times, maybe 3 or 4 times, but there's so much there I'd like to see. But and then maybe Italy, I've been there twice or 3 times, but we spent a week in Rome. That was an amazing trip. Just this is going to sound bad, but yeah, we took my mom there, and it was like 5 of my siblings and my mother, and we took her there. She really wanted to go to the Vatican, and my siblings and I had such a great time with her, but none of us brought our spouses or our kids or anything. So actually, I mean, it really turned out nice because we only had to worry about ourselves and not entertaining mm-hmm. them. So we really just had a lot of quality family time together. But the city was amazing to tour. And I really liked the way we planned it because there were a few of us. We took, like, each of us was responsible for planning different things. And my brother had been there before, so he knew kind of like what area he wanted to stay in. So he was responsible for picking the apartment we stayed in. And then one sister planned our food tour, so she did all the research on that. And then I did some museums, and another sibling picked the tour for the Vatican so we could do a private tour with my mom. So that was a lot of fun because we got to do so much, but not one person was overburdened with planning the whole thing for everybody. So it's like, what do you really want to do? You plan that part. And so then when it all came together, it was great.
That sounds awesome. I love that.
Yeah. I love those.
Pass the responsibility around. And so only one day are you the queen of all things, and then every other day you can just relax and go with the flow.
Yeah. It's only like one day they were asking, you know, me, well, where are we going? What time do we have to be there? You know, so the other days you got to just kind of sit back and just go with the flow for like whatever the other person had planned. The food tour was amazing. The food was, of course.
So how could you have a bad food tour?
I don't know.
Yeah. You'd have to work really hard. I'm sure maybe you could do it, but you'd have to work really hard.
Yeah. I have to say that was the first food tour I had ever done on a vacation. And I was like, man, why had I never done this before? And now since then, every trip we go on, we find a food tour. Like in Barcelona, we did a food tour. Down in Charleston, even, we did a food tour. I'm trying to think where else. But like now, we're always like, well, we got to do a food tour.
Yeah, it's really the only, if you're a foodie, it's the only way to get to eat a whole bunch of stuff without breaking your wallet or your stomach.
Yeah,
because you can try little bites of things, and I won't. That's the first thing I pick now when I travel is a food tour.
Where are we gonna eat?
What food tour company is the best one to use, because they are not all created equal, and some of them have access that the other ones don't, which is nice. And if you do the right one, you can. There's nothing worse than doing a food tour and finding out that if you'd done the other one, you could have gone to like a secret whiskey tasting.
Yeah.
Or you would not have had a crazy tour guide who fights with people while
you're random people like yeah. So one thing I like about like Italy and cities like that, and like Edinburgh and of that caliber, is how the history comes alive. It's like you're walking into the History Channel and just breathes life into you, and it's just kind of a neat it's always had a need. I would love to spend more time in any of those cities just for that, because you feel like you can just reach out and touch the past, and it's all still right there. There might be a McDonald's in that building, but it still looks the same.
Well, and you're going, it's like, dang, you know, I didn't get to go fly thing. Oh, darn. I guess I'm going to have to go back to Alaska.
Just going to have to go back.
Oh, darn.
That was pretty much what I said about Hawaii when we couldn't go up on the helicopter.
Oh no, you shucks.
Oops, we ran out of time. Guess we have to come back. But again, my son, I think, was completely happy not to go up in a plane, so.
Would he go up today, though? Or is he still scared of the heights? I don't know.
It's funny, because he's 6'1", so it's like, how do you walk around? I don't know.
I'm still scared, but I've had 2 flight seeing experiences now, and I'm hooked. I really am. I'll grin and bear it because I don't want to miss out on that view.
Yeah, I think he would enjoy parts of it. I think he wouldn't like looking. That's the thing. That's the secret too. If you look out, but don't look down.
Look down.
It's a different experience. So, you know, we'll see. We haven't tried ziplining again. We have great video on the Outlander Travel YouTube page of Marcus attempting to zipline. He was all excited, and he did the first one. He was like, no.
Oh, no.
That's way different than flight seeing, though. You know, and even a helicopter is different than flight seeing in a plane.
Yeah, in Costa Rica, we did a small plane. It wasn't a 10-seater like that. Well, 11-seater with the pilot. It was like a 20. I feel like it was 19 plus the pilot. And he did fine with that. But of course, it is a plane, and he did not look out at all. He just sat there and flew. So,
yeah. I feel much safer in a plane or a helicopter than on a zip line.
Yeah. I would say
that's the bravery.
The plane wasn't bad, but you know, one thing I didn't do is I wouldn't do the London Eye, because that kind of scares me.
Oh, I did the London Eye. That was awesome. It's so big and so slow that it's really not that bad.
Yeah. I didn't do it because I'd done the one in Vegas, and I'd done so many of them that it's become, by the time I actually got to the real London Eye, it was like, well. Yeah.
The one in Myrtle Beach is closed right now.
I knew she was going to do that.
I've done that one. I've done the one in Myrtle Beach.
We did do the one at there's one in Niagara Falls. I think we did go up in that.
But you know, there's not one in Pittsburgh.
So. There might be one in Pittsburgh. No, I don't think
so. Cable car in Pittsburgh, but
there should be.
Would you say that you're an adventure traveler, or cushy traveler, or do you like to do outdoorsy things? Like,
a mix, but. Certainly, as I get older, I'm a little more the cushy traveler. But, when I was younger, I think I was a little more adventurous. But no, I still like to do, walking or hiking or whitewater rafting. We've done that. And I would do that. I
like to call it adventure with comfort.
There you go.
That sounds an awful lot like glamping.
No, nobody here wants to go camping.
Would you go skiing with Donna, Stacy? Is that skiing your thing at all?
I've done skiing before. Skiing is fun. I'm not a real person, a real cold person. Like, I don't like to be in the cold too much. And then I did actually have an accident once. I say it's my skiing accident, but then my husband always says, tell the truth. You weren't actually skiing when you fell. You were standing there in your skis. And I just kind of fell over.
Say it still counts.
That's what I said.
Let me put skis on. I can't walk upstairs.
I'm right there with you. I've had my ACL replaced because I did it skiing, so it still counts.
I'll go on a ski trip with you guys, and I won't rent any equipment because I won't need it. I'll be in the hot tub or the bar the whole time.
Or I'll do it like the snow. I've never done the snowmobiles, like the. Is that what they're
talking about? That's fun.
I would do that. That would be a lot of fun.
We did at Fairbanks, and we went ice fishing.
That would be fun.
For some reason, I feel like my level is too, like, I could do the snow tubing. That looks really fun to me. Mm-hmm. And I guess because I'm sitting down, I just feel like it's more comfortable, even though not comfortable at all.
My butt could take the bruising. Of course, I say that now because the pain and the scars have healed. Butt water rafting
from Puerto Rico?
Sandy experience.
The first time I went skiing, I fell down so many times, I just took my skis off and slid down the mountain on my butt.
I did that one time, too.
I went right up to the top and went straight to the bar. I was like, y'all know where to find me.
I want to do an experiment now and see, because I used to really love sledding and tubing when I was younger. Over 40, is it going to be the same? Am I going to enjoy it as much, or am I going to fear for my life and then go drink?
You're going to fear for your life and go drink.
Not all of us can be Donna.
Hey, I didn't say I was good. I just enjoy it.
Well, we digress. Stacey's like, this is about me, right?
I don't like the spotlight anyway. I like it when it's everybody joining in.
So, Stacey, right now, as it sits, what type of trips do you enjoy the thought of planning the most? FITs? cruises? What really excites you? If a client were to call tomorrow, what would you want them to want?
What would I want? The most expensive trip out there. Just joking. I think from a planning perspective, like an FIT, because I do like to plan all the components. So I think that's fun when they tell you, you know, they can tell you what kind of things they like to do, and then you're able to find just the perfect tour, just the perfect, you know, restaurant or activity for the kids. Just so I think that would, it's probably the most appealing to me.
For our listeners, FIT is like a trip where you have hotels and tours and stuff, but it's not like a cruise. It's not like, it's like where you have individual things. You might rent a car, take trains or whatever. So
not on a guided tour. I really like that too, where you can add little pieces of magic and put things in there they didn't even know existed. And you know, the more you know about them, the easier it is to match them up with these once in a lifetime experiences, and then they'll come back.
When I think about the things that I've enjoyed during my travels, you know, sometimes, like you said, it's those little things that maybe you weren't even expecting happened, and you're like, oh my gosh, that was the best. Can't believe that happened. Now I can't think of any good examples off the top of my head, although I know they've happened to me.
But that goes back to what we were talking about before, about having flexibility. Because if you're too rigid, you miss out on those experiences where you might wander down that one street where that little cafe that you weren't intending on eating at was, and they had the best whatever you've ever had in your whole life. I think every single trip needs to have at least a little bit of that
little bit, area for
exploration and wonderment.
Yeah, a little mystery.
Yeah.
Stacy's doing this during like one of the worst possible times in history and still wants to stick around. So I think that's a good sign.
Hey, all experience is good experience.
That's right. So,
you know, still learning things. Mm-hmm. I'm learning a lot.
There's no doubt that anyone in the travel industry or joining the travel industry right now truly loves what they do.
I've got a great group of people to learn from, and great resources.
So are you still going to be doing some admin stuff, right? We're not going to all of a sudden fall apart and be unorganized. You're holding this ship together.
I think you know Elizabeth better than that. She'd never let it fall apart. I'll definitely still be doing some administrative stuff, and I really actually enjoy that part of it. So it's taught me so much from the other side, you know, seeing everything once the sale has taken place, then everything that so much goes into it. I don't know if everybody who's booking trips realizes just how much happens after they sign the dotted line, you know, to make their trip happen. So it's definitely been a great experience learning from, I've been really lucky because I've learned it from that side first, and now I can, you know, learn from the other side.
Learn to fix the problems before the mistakes are made, or before the problems happen.
Before they happen, there you go.
Yeah, you're not learning on the fly. Yeah, that's good.
But you already know how to make all those changes when they're like, oh, can you add this? Can you add this? Can you add this?
Yes.
It makes it easier.
Well, and two, just like I said, I mean, I wasn't trying to sound, really coming into a place that has so much experience, because, you know, some of you have been doing this for so long, there's always somebody to go ask a question if I have one. So I don't think every person who's entering being a travel advisor has that option. I mean, they can certainly have a network of people, but having built-in network right away and support it's almost like it's a no-brainer. You know, I've got someone, you know, people who are going to be there to help if I need it.
And it's great because everyone has different pieces of the puzzle, right? Everyone has a different different strengths and different sets, pieces of knowledge that, oh, I've been there 50,000 times and I didn't see that, or I don't ever want to go there. Help me. Like, can I send you this client? We have that to lean on each other and really learn from. And that's really great. Not a lot of people get that in this industry.
Yeah.
Right. So, well, we're so glad to have you, Stacy.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy. I mean, I know I've been here for a little while, but, I'm excited to maybe finally get to meet some of our agents who are out and about, not here in the Raleigh area. I'll get to maybe meet them in person one day.
Travel again.
My goal.
And we can all get on the plane safely and hug each other once again.
There you go.
One of the admin things Stacy's working on this week is trying to organize our little mini conference for Outlander Travel.
Yay! I'm so excited about that. I can't wait to get to see you guys.
I'm excited until we can make sure we can do it.
It's been too long.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is our show for this week, guys. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. A special thank you to Stacy for joining us tonight. It was so great getting to know you better. I can't wait to meet you in person. Yay. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, Elizabeth, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.